Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. And in this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Mako Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MKO and on the OTCQX under the symbol MAKOF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Akiba Leisman. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Mako is focused in northern Nicaragua. The company has a operating gold project, the San Albino gold project. Commercial production was declared at the very start of Q3 of this year, so July 1st, 2021. We will get an update on the production and upcoming financial results, but we're going to first start to talk about the exploration aspect of this company, because there is a lot of exploration ongoing, and the company just received drill permits for the Puerto Rios concession. So to understand where this concession is, I will post a map below this interview that shows how all these concessions fit together. But let's start off here, Akiba, in terms of now getting this drill permit, which is good for up to 800,000 meters. That's a lot of drilling. You're obviously not going to take care of that in the near term. But overall, what does this permit now allow the company to move forward with in terms of exploration?
Sure, and you're right. This is going to be over many years that we are anticipating having these three forms of drilling on this concession, both in terms of core drilling, trenching, first circulation drilling, and then what we've actually implemented at San Albino right now is production blast hole drilling as a way to guide our exploration program. So we are very fortunate that we have a very shallow dipping deposit where we can actually access some of this material situated 10, 15, 20 meters from surface with blast hole rigs. You can pepper a fairly significant surface area with that. And then if there are, whether it's anomalies or actually direct hits on the vein from that drilling approach, then you can go and follow it up with diamond drilling after that, which will be reported to the market as they come in. Yeah, so this is anticipated taking 10 many years to do those 800,000 meters that we're now permitted to do. Now, just to kind of rehash what Puerto Rios was. So Mako was created at the end of 2018. I took over as management of the company in August of 2019. And then there was a gaping hole in our concession. So the trend of the San Albino deposit, where we're mining right now, goes from the southwest to the northeast. And doesn't take a geologist to see is that going straight to the northeast, 600 meters to the northeast from where we were situated, was the Puerto Rios concession, which was owned by another publicly traded company, which did not have a strategic interest in this part of Nicaragua any longer. There was a hesitancy on the previous management team to spend money on anything really outside of the primary mine construction. So this is one of the first things that we actually did when the management change happened at the end of 2019. We acquired this concession from Condor in December of 2019. Unfortunately, the drilling permits that Condor had over Puerto Rios did not transfer over to us. So we had to wait for this to be officially recognized in the Register of Nicaragua, and then had to go through the formal process of getting permits to drill, which we were fortunate to have been granted to us over the course of the last week. And then by the new year, we hoped to start drilling. The first time ever in the history of this area of Nicaragua have we seen any modern drilling. And so this is going to be a very important moment for the company, not even on Puerto Rios, but also a concession that was granted to us to the northeast of Puerto Rios, an area called La Segoviana, which we fully passed unanimously with the community consultations. We anticipate having that permit over the course of the next 40 or so days from now.
Yeah, Keith, it's an exciting time for the company, and it really fills in the blanks on that map to have both the Puerto Rios and the La Segoviana permitted now and the drilling beginning. And a lot of people have missed in the Mako story, in my opinion at least, just how aggressive you guys are being with exploration and how much upside there is. Once you start producing, it's natural for people to start valuing a company based on the throughput and the grade and, you know, how many ounces were produced. But I think people are missing the bigger picture here, that now that you have the sunk mill costs out of the way and you have all that infrastructure in place, as you start drilling off and exploring on these other properties, it's very accretive ounces to the business plan. So could you just bring us up to speed on where the three drill rigs are now and, you know, how things will develop as you get more rigs on site?
Sure. No, I mean, you put your finger on it. I call it mine myopia, is that the second that you actually have a mine, people put on their valuation blinders in terms of what actually is going to be driving the overall value of the company. from the start, we've been pretty consistent about this. Mako has always been a three-stage strategy. It was getting the San Albino mine up and running, the world's highest grade open pit mine, 500 tons per day was the initial scoping rate to that. But that was not the end of the story. Secondly, there was a discovery that was made to the south, where we're currently drilling over at Las Conchitas, the ability to define a resource over at Las Conchitas sometime in the year 2022, such that we can be mining San Albino and Las Conchitas together at 1,000 tons a day by the very end of 2022. We're fully permitted to expand our mill with very minor modifications to get to 1,000 tons a day. And then thirdly, which I've always thought was the most important part about the company, was to prove that this really is an orogenic gold mining camp. And everything that we are seeing in the district is confirming that thesis right now, is it really does have the potential to house millions and millions of ounces of gold when all is said and done. And now you're 100% correct. And we get a lot of criticism for what we did, which was effectively designing this mill around a relatively small ore body. We delineated a 270,000 ounce resource over at San Albino, which, by the way, was open in all directions. In fact, we're doing some direct extensions of that resource now with two of those three rigs. It's going to get bigger. We actually have a very clear line of sight to a materially enlarged resource base to what we have even at San Albino proper. But more importantly, having this plant there fundamentally revalues every single exploration ounce that we have elsewhere on the property. I don't care if it's 2 kilometers to the south over at Las Conchitas or 21 kilometers to the north-northeast over at the tippy top of La Segoviana. If you're talking about grades like this deposit holds, whether it's at San Albino or 20 kilometers away, which are generally grading in the half ounce range, the distance does not matter to get to the infrastructure in terms of what it's going to be costing to haul something of that grade to our current infrastructure. So this is not like a company who is trying to develop the next incremental 100,000 ounces on their project to put into a PEA and then eventually to have engineers take a look at it and put a series of book reports together. This is reality. We have the ability to find ounces as far away from our mine as the tippy top of our concessions, and then within an investor's time horizon, put that into a mine plan. The ounces that we have in our property are effectively cash flow, and it is fundamentally different than most other exploration companies out there.
Now, what is that time frame? Because you did outline here that Las Conchitas should be or could be in production here in the relatively near term. But just looking at this map, there's a lot of other exploration to be done. You guys are doing that exploration. What is the time frame to, yes, new target into potential mine plan?
Yeah, Las Conchitas, we have the bones of an internal geological model set, and we have the corridor of surface rights that will allow us to extract it, pending actual exploitation permits over at Las Conchitas. We're going to be doing a fairly extensive infill program to delineate a resource, a relatively small resource to get started with, which we anticipate happening probably in early Q3 of next year. And then we fully anticipate breaking ground on Las Conchitas sometime by the very end of next year. And then we can wind up expanding our plant with very minor modifications, very limited capex, and maybe about 4 months of a head start to go and get this thing up from 500 tons a day to 1,000 tons a day at the expanded nameplate. Now, elsewhere, on something as Puerto Rios, so think about Puerto Rios and Segoviana right now. Puerto Rios, we got a permit a week ago. There's never been a drill hole on it to date, to put it in perspective in terms of where we are from timelines and exploration. That being said, there have been small-scale miners on the property, on both of them. We have done extremely detailed surface sampling, even in situ sampling on the veins because of exposed veins. Again, these are very, very shallow-lying structures for small miners who are generally friendly in the area. They allow us to go to their workings so we can get very good understandings as to what the morphology of the veins look like. It does not take a lot of imagination to already see that mines exist right now over at Puerto Rios and La Segoviana. So really, the rate limiting step is going through the process of surface rights acquisition, which we're doing right now on both properties, over at Puerto Rios and over at Segoviana, to start drilling. Again, we have not put a single drill hole in Puerto Rios, which we are now fully permitted to do in Segoviana. Hopefully over the course of the next 40 days or so, we'll be able to do that as well. We have every bit of confidence that we're going to be able to bring newly discovered deposits on both of those concessions into the mine plan over the course of the next 3 years. This is not like Greenfield's exploration program. We know that the gold exists. It's not too difficult to start putting things together. It's not too difficult to use the information that we have from the surface and from small scale miners in the area to start understanding what the real geological model is. It's not that that difficult to imagine what a drilling program is needed to delineate a resource. And it's not too difficult to imagine what the underlying infrastructure expansions that are needed in order to put these potential resource discoveries into the mine plan, again, over a period of 2, 3, or 4 years. This is really something that will be imminent in terms of our production profile for the long-term growth of the company.
Well, Akiba, just to encapsulate the drill program for people following along, you had the initial plan of 60,000 meters. Just remind everybody where you're at in that process as far as how many meters have been drilled. I know there's two rigs at San Albino and there's one at Las Conchitas. Is there any specific targets they're drilling? And then I know you have plans to bring more rigs on to the site at the beginning of the year. So just give us an idea of where those rigs will be going.
Yeah, I mean, we are so behind right now. So the we get a lot of unreasonable criticisms over Omega. One of the reasonable criticisms, one is like, you guys are behind on your exploration. We should have been at five rigs about 2 months ago. Two of them were caught up in this global logistics crunch that we're in. So we have two rigs literally sitting in the port of Miami looking for some containers to get shipped to Managua. We're trying to supplement that with some alternative contractors in the area. So there's no question that we should not be drilling with three rigs. We should be drilling with a hell of a lot more than that right now. So given the fact that I'm still expecting those two rigs to be on site in short order, and the rigs that we have supplementary to that, is that we will be at least six and potentially more than that in the very early part of next year. Now, because we have three rigs, there is a process right now of prioritization of what's going on, is what exactly is going to be the most urgent drilling that is needed. And then in terms of the hierarchy of where that fits, because really our most precious commodity for a company like this is time, is that we have two rigs situated in direct satellites to San Albino. One is the southwest zone, which is part of the fully permitted area of San Albino. So we have the ability to exploit stuff in the southwest pit. To put the southwest pit into context is that we have drilled it a little bit in the past over the course of the last 10 years or so, and that there have been very high-grade intercepts over there. When we put the resource model together, there was very limited amount of that data that was holding together in what we would consider to be a discernible geological model. So we basically took a big, big black Sharpie to that, saying this resource really cannot hang together, therefore we're going to assign it a zero. The entirety of the resource in the southwest pit area amounted to about 450 ounces. That's not missing a decimal point. So it was about 450 ounces that we were putting together. Clearly, there was another deposit there of materiality. We just kind of like put that to the side when that resource was put out in October of last year. So this is actually one of the first implementations that we've had with our production blast hole program. So we blanketed the entire area of the southwest zone with blast holes. We were able to find out where the veins were located, to the extent that they were localized faulting that was causing us some confusion by not being able to link a lot of this information together. We were able to solve a lot of that problems. Now we're drilling there, and guess what? We're finding the high-grade vein, and it's continuous in nature. We're starting to get a handle on the geological model. And we have every anticipation that the southwest zone will be mined, at least starting to be mined sometime over the course of the next 18 months. Then there's the immediate expansion of San Albino to the northeast. So we had an area directly abutting the resource where again, there was some sparsely drilled zones in that area that we again had to put a cutoff on the time for the resource. We only put ounces that we were comfortable delineating in. So we basically cut off the resource to the northeast. It wasn't limited by data at all. It was completely open along strike, but there was a limit to how much data we could hold together. We're not only going back there to do our infill work, and by the way, we're hitting the vein over at the northeast. It's clearly continuous in that direction. But now that we actually have Puerto Rios granted to us, so Puerto Rios is not demarcated, and you can see on the map that you're going to be giving to your listeners over here, it's not demarcated at the border of the Rio Jicaro, so the Jicaro River that's in the northeast. It actually starts that concession to the south, the direct extension of the San Albino mine. Now, we're not allowed to mine within 200 meters of that river, But there's still a lot of space between where we cut off that resource to even on the other side of Puerto Rios, where we have the ability to expand the direct extension of San Albino by a factor of two, just going along strike in this this particular area. So huge low-hanging fruit on both of them, all of which can be encapsulated into a mine plan really starting next year. I mean, these are ounces that can actually be supplementary to the two zones that we're mining right now over at the San Albino vein in the west pit and then the Aris vein in the central pit. The third rig is situated over at Las Conchitas. Right now, we are still trying to define the limits of where our most densely drilled zones are. So we have a couple of veins that we're in the process of delineating a resource on. One is the Bayacun vein, which holds together very nicely. We have an internal geological model that we'd be able to put a resource on that today if we wanted to. And likewise, the Mango vein, which has some of the highest grade hits that we've had in our entire properties database. So we hit 376 grams over a meter, 30 meters from surface on the Mango vein. We're drilling down dip there, and guess what? We're hitting super high grade, or at least visually looking like high grade veins down dip from some of these very impressive hits. So that drill rig over there is clearly continuing to find extensions of known zones within the property over Las Conchitas. Now we're going to have to supplement that next year with a couple of rigs that are going to be focused on other zones, and then also doing the meat of the infill program that eventually will delineate the resource that we have over at Las Conchitas to actually start mining that by the very end of next year.
All right. So I think everybody can garner here that there's a lot of exploration to be done, and you sound very excited about all of this exploration. Let's talk about the production, though, because as I said, to kick this off, the company did declare commercial production at the very start of Q3. We don't have those Q3 financials yet, but they should be upcoming. What's going to be important to notice, or what do you want people to focus on when we do see some of these financial results?
Sure. I mean, and to put it in context, I mean, we were still in ramp-up mode. We've already released all of our detailed operating statistics from a couple of weeks ago, so everybody can go to our website to take a look at that press release. So just a couple of salient details about the quarter. So like I said before, the initial stage of San Albino was to develop it on a nameplate capacity of 500 tons per day net. So for all of Q3, we were running this at 429 tons per day at 85% availability. You multiply those two numbers together, you get a number that's about 73% of 500 tons per day. So effectively, we're running at 73% of capacity. Even with that, right? So even with running this at 73% capacity, the mine was generating a lot of cash. So there was a very material change to our working capital balance, a very material change to our payable balance. Obviously, we're in the process of exploring a fairly extensive drill program that will be in excess of $10 million over the course of the next 12 months. So even though the mine was still in ramp-up mode, we're like one of the most profitable on a per-ounce basis mines really globally. And then you start taking a look at what's going on in Q4, where we're now in the best part of San Albino, the Porcelana zone. And then to put this in context, we are blending at this point, I think it's about 55% vein material or diluted vein material, so the good stuff. And then we're diluting it with a historical dump material, with some separated hanging wall and footwall zone. So kind of cutting the grade down between taking about 55% of the good stuff and 45% of the bad stuff, blending it together. We still have head grades that are the highest grade open pit mine in the world. So think about that. We are cutting our grade with roughly half good stuff, roughly half economic stuff, but not so great stuff. Blending it together, one unit each, still makes us the highest grade open pit mine in the world. It just shows you what the grade of the San Albino deposit is. And even though we're kind of still in ramp-up mode, with those grades, this deposit is more profitable than I think most people imagine. So I'm actually very excited that this is going to be the first time that you kind of get to peek a little bit underneath the kimono, if you will. And you're going to actually see some snippets about what the potential profitability of this deposit is going to look like, even though we're not running on rails in Q3.
All right, Akiba, we're going to wrap it up here, but we'll definitely be following up when we get those Q3 results. And hey, it sounds like it'll be a very good quarter for you. It'll be interesting to see what those financial results come in at. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Akiba regarding the exploration or the production side of the company, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. In full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Mako Mining. Akiba, thank you very much for this update. We'll follow up with you shortly.
Okay, great. I appreciate it, guys.